We often think of sharks as villains, but as far as humans versus sharks go, we're the bad guys. I'm Tegan Taylor, and this is Occam's Razor, a soapbox for science. And here to argue on behalf of sharks today is Leo Guida, who's been passionate about these toothy ocean dwellers since he was a little kid.
So you're at the beach, or it happens to be a Friday night and the weekend's here, and you're feeling pretty hungry. Now, fish and chips is sounding like a pretty good idea. Am I right, or am I right? As a kid, I loved nothing more than that salty, crispy goodness of hot chips, a couple of potato cakes, fried dim sims, a slab of flake, and an ice-cold can of Coke to wash it all down. But what I loved more than fish and chips was sharks. I watched countless Nat Geo docos, I trawled through libraries to try and find any book I could on them, and I whittled away countless pencils drawing them. I could never know enough, and I still can't. But what I didn't know as a kid, as with one in three Australians today, is that flake is shark meat. And at this moment, endangered shark species are finding their way on our plates. In 2003, I finished high school. Coincidentally, the world peaked in shark fishing, catching around 900,000 metric tons. A little less than a decade later, in 2011, we learnt that between 63 million and up to 273 million individual sharks were being caught across the world each year in commercial fisheries. That was the year I commenced my PhD at Monash University, studying the effects of commercial fishing on shark and ray populations in Australia. And it was during this time I really started to appreciate just how unique and awesome our waters are. Australia is the most biodiverse place on Earth when it comes to shark and rays. We have a quarter of the world's species that call our water home, or 328 if you're counting. And of those 328, nearly half of them aren't found anywhere else in the world. We have the world's biggest fish, the whale shark, can measure up to 18 metres and looks like the night sky and its myriad stars have been painted along its body. Up in our northern parts, we have the sawfish, an animal that looks like half a shark, half a ray, with a chainsaw for a nose. And then right on our doorstep, on the Great Barrier Reef, we have sharks that walk on land. Yes, they walk on land. As the tide recedes, the little epaulette shark will waddle on its pec fins and go from reef pool to reef pool as it's being exposed to air. Sharks are incredibly important to ocean ecosystems. Generally, at the top of food webs, they keep everything in balance and in check. And if we remove too many sharks, food webs can become unstable and potentially collapse. A simplified example would be the overfishing of sharks, causing middle-order predators like tuna to explode in numbers. They then start to wipe out the smaller herbivorous fish. With no herbivorous fish eating the algae, algae can then bloom to dangerous levels, choking the water of oxygen and light. Soon there's no herbivorous fish, the tuna go hungry, and all of a sudden, because we've taken out too many sharks, this weekend, mum isn't making tuna mornay, and on the local trip to Woolies, you might not find cans of tuna on the shelf. We also have to acknowledge the darker side to our waters, and that is that one in eight shark and ray species in Australia are threatened with extinction. Overfishing is the main cause, pure and simple. Sharks and rays don't handle fishing very well because, like us humans, they're slow to mature, they produce few young, and they live a long time. Generally speaking, a shark will be about 10 years old when it reaches maturity, will be pregnant for 1 to 2 years, and give birth to around 4 to 10 pups. Put simply, we're fishing them faster than they can reproduce. Now, Australia, compared to the rest of the world, is relatively in a good spot when it comes to shark and rays. But the bar is perilously low, and when we can eat endangered species from our own waters, you've then got to realise we've got some pretty big problems in our own backyard. Up to 50,000 individual endangered scalloped hammerheads are allowed to be fished per year in Australian waters, or 200 tonnes. Of that, 20,000 alone can come from the Great Barrier Reef Marine Park. We have the endangered school shark down south in Victoria. You can readily pop into a fish and chip shop and order that, despite the fact that it's only 10% of its original numbers. We also have the endangered green-eyed spur dog. Now, for the ladies in the audience, brace yourself. This shark is pregnant for nearly 3 years. It's the longest in the vertebrate world. It's a record holder. Yet, unfortunately, or tragically, it gets trawled up in New South Wales trawlers, and DNA studies from Macquarie University have also shown that it too ends up in our fish and chip shop. When you do order flake, they might ask you, would you like a side serve a dolphin with that? Perhaps a seal, maybe an endangered Aussie sea lion. Well, you won't get asked that, but the reason I say that is because the way we fish for sharks is also problematic. The predominant method of shark fishing in Australia is using fishing nets. And these fishing nets catch a heartbreaking amount of turtles, dolphins, dugongs, as I mentioned, the endangered Aussie sea lion. So how on earth did we get in this dire situation? Well, there's a few things. One, our nature laws are broken. Endangered sharks can be legally fished. Two, our fishing is broken. Along with endangered sharks being fished, other endangered wildlife can also be caught and killed. And three, our labelling laws are broken. Often, neither retailer nor consumer is aware that when they sell flake or eat flake, it's shark. It's basically like saying, if you're going to sell kangaroo, emu, goat, lamb, or any other form of red meat, and calling it all beef. If we don't fish for the future, we're not going to be able to fish in the future. And speaking of the future, where to from here? What solutions do we have at hand? Well, there's a few fundamentals. One, under our national nature laws, we protect endangered species and also the habitats that they live in. This will enable them to recover. Two, when it comes to fishing, we have cameras on board vessels so that we can collect increasingly detailed and accurate data. This enables us to know what endangered sharks and rays are being caught and in what numbers. With that data, scientists can then determine mortality trigger limits, which basically means when a specific endangered shark gets caught and too many die, the fishing stops. And this enables endangered species to recover into the future. Now, it's a lot to do, and you're probably thinking, well, how much is this all going to cost us? The cost of recovering Australia's endangered sharks and rays is 0.3% of our annual national defence budget, or $144 million per year. Now, these benefits go beyond sharks and actually benefit broader fishery sustainability. There's promise in what I'm proposing here. Australia's largest shark fishery was smashing endangered Aussie sea lions and causing precipitous declines in their population. This fishery is managed by the federal government and still is. Over the last decade, a recovery strategy was put in place for sea lions. And we learnt a little over a year ago that their populations are now appearing to stabilise and the death rates of sea lions have reduced by 98%. This is fantastic news. Now, yes, the sea lion or the endangered Aussie sea lion was the driver of this, and yes, there are still improvements in this fishery to make, but the point I'm getting at is that with evidence-based approaches and cooperation and concerted efforts across conservation, science, fishery management, government and industry, positive and great things can be achieved. But make no mistake, the opportunity is now to resolve this extinction crisis that is occurring literally out of sight and out of mind beneath the waves. Fishery reforms are occurring around the country, including here in Queensland, where we're looking at ways at which we fish to reduce the impact on endangered sharks and rays. Our national nature laws are currently undergoing a once-in-a-generation reform. And you'll be pleased to know that there are 5 threatened shark and ray species that are currently undergoing assessment for protection. Our marine park network is being reviewed, and this is a crucial opportunity to give sharks and other species protection in the critical habitats in which they live. And finally, our federal government has made the commendable and ambitious claim of no new extinctions. None of this is a done deal. The opportunity is here, the opportunity is now, but it's only if we take it. So I ask you, will you come with me? Will you come with me and thousands of others who want healthy and resilient oceans into the future? The great thing is nothing drastic is required of you at all. In fact, you can do it all from the comfort of your own pocket. And by that, I mean you can pull out your phone and you can support shark and ray conservation initiatives at giveflakeabreak.com. You can also visit goodfish.org.au, and it's an easy traffic light system to guide you and your sustainable seafood choices. And on any given Friday night or any given trip to the beach, go to the fish and chip shop. I do. I love it. But I want to leave you with one final thought about sharks and rays. We are their biggest threat, but we are also their only hope. Thank you.
That was Dr. Leonardo Guida, shark scientist at the Australian Marine Conservation Society. He was speaking at our Occam's Razor live event as part of World Science Festival Brisbane on Yuggera and Turrbal land. I'm Tegan Taylor, your Occam's Razor host, and I'll be back here again next week with more science to take a bite out of.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.